The message today is find God's purpose for your life. And since I preached that first message on purpose, I have been amazed at how many messages on purpose are going out all around the nation. And so it's good when God allows Shiloh to be in on what he's doing. Amen? The text that I'm using today is Ephesians chapter 1, the first 11 verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us acceptable in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. This text immediately tells us that ultimately God has a purpose that overrides everything there is. That in his sovereignty, he oversees everything in heaven and earth. He ordains their purpose and sets the limits and boundaries of their existence and their freedom. For example, though immense, the universe is not infinite, it's not endless, boundless, undying, or timeless. But the universe is finite, temporary, limited, and passing away. All of our lives are being lived within the finite bubble which we call the universe. According to Einstein, the total universe is a closed spherical system. Therefore, the universe can be circumnavigated if one had enough ship, enough power, enough time, and enough speed. Do you think this kind of speed would allow us to eventually travel the universe if we had enough speed? I don't think so. But although the universe is not infinite, endless, boundless, undying, or timeless, God is. God is infinite, endless, boundless, undying, timeless. And when you think about his domain, have you ever wondered what was on the other side of the bubble? Or should I say fishbowl? Seeing that we are watched over by the all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere-present God, who has a grand purpose and mighty plan for your life. Have you ever thought, why creation? Why were we born? Why are we here? Someone has posed the question, why do you suppose God created those billions of trillions of stars? The universe is a very big place, and I was interested about how many stars that might be out there. And I think the closest estimate is in our galaxy, our Milky Way, about 400 billion. Whew. Astronauts believe that there are at least that many galaxies with perhaps an average size equal to ours in the universe. And so they figure 200 billion times 200 billion equates an incomprehensible number of stars. Man, that is an amazing God. That's an amazing God to me. So the purpose of human life rests in God's plan, his plan of salvation for us. God is creating his own kind. He is reproducing himself through the many men and women that he's now calling to be Christians. When such a person is baptized and receives the gift of the Holy Spirit, he's actually begotten as a son of God. Through Bible study, daily prayer, and the experiences and trials of life, the Christian grows spiritually. His carnal nature is reformed and shaped into godly character. The purpose of life is linked to creation, not the physical, but the spiritual creation God is bringing to pass in the lives of converted human beings. Galatians 6:15 declares, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation." As celestial bodies are not free to roam willy-nilly throughout the universe, but must follow the path of the orbits to fulfill their prescribed purpose, so must we follow God's path for our lives to find and fulfill his highest purpose for us. Hebrews 1:1-14 says, "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the Father through the prophet, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed to be heir of all things, through whom he also made the world, who, being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." Jesus sat down. Jesus is not laboring anymore. He's not working at it anymore. Having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So Hebrews 1:3 tells us that all things are upheld, all things are sustained by the word of Christ's power. That includes you and me. Amen? Hallelujah. We are sustained, especially when we follow the path that orbits us in the purpose of his will. Wow. That's keeping grace. You can't go wrong when your life is in order with God. And you won't go wrong when you seek, find, and fulfill the purpose God has predestined for you. The scholar Curson says all of Paul's experiences prepared him to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. The same is true for you. Same is true for me. You need to know that God has already wrapped his purpose for you in your life. Amen. There's a reason we should be seeking what that is if we don't know what it is. But somehow I believe God has imprinted it in us. And it's as close to us as breath. You might bump into it if you turn around and you know what God has ordained for you in your life to do. Our lives are being sustained by Him. So you can't go wrong when you obey Him. And you won't go wrong when you seek, find, and fulfill His purpose. So your life experiences have prepared you to be and do precisely what God, before the foundation of the world, has imprinted you to be and to do for the glory of the kingdom. So you thought that you were going to be the world's greatest saxophone player. You got to New York City. You got to the Apollo Theater and actually played your saxophone on the stage on two nights with a quartet called the Five Pearls. And I was the sax man. But you know, Saints, I got tired of eating rice and beans. Every night, and that is the literal truth. Canned chili at that, or canned beans, whatever that was. I knew that was no longer my purpose in life. But sometimes you think that what you have a passion for is what you're really made for. And then when I found out that the Lord called me to preach, Pastor Eric and I were talking about it just the other day. And a pastor in Tucson invited me to the platform. And I said, he said, look, you cannot be a private holy man. That's all I was interested in being. And so I said, no, I'm an introvert. I'm a kind of guy. I don't need a crowd. So I finally gave myself the Briggs-Myers exam and found out that, no, you fall right in the middle. You're going to be crazy like everybody else. And then you go in there, you're going to be that very private individual. So I walk in between those two things. But anyway, it takes God to help you to find out what you're good for. Amen? So your life experiences will all contribute to that. Therefore, God wants to place each one of us in the spot for which He has prepared us from the very beginning. God's will is not heavy or difficult. His will fits perfectly with the personality and the experiences He's given you. So step out, saints. God is passionate about us finding our place. I don't know what it's all about, but I feel this. You know, because this message being preached all around the nation. I have been amazed. Every time I walked in, I found an old recording of, can you think of his name? What was his name? Furick? Furtick? Preaching on purpose. Everybody's at it. So we need to be serious about it. So step out. I'm going to say it must be a major sign that God is up to something in His church. And we must be ready for it, saints. So if an awakening or a revival is on His heart, or our Lord wants to do something amazing in the nation, He needs His church. He needs you. He needs me. We need to be ready. Somebody witnessed to you. Somebody spoke a word to you. Somebody prayed for your healing. Somebody prayed for your kids. Somebody's going to need your prayers. Somebody's going to need you to labor in the kingdom. Amen? To serve the purpose of God. So if that awakening is coming, we want to be ready for the fire. Amen? We want to be ready when it comes. And I don't know what all is stirring, but I remind you of what Jesus said in Luke 12:42-44. And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom the master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all. He will set him over, all his possessions. So God sees where he wants you to serve him, whether on a construction site, or a classroom, a courtroom, a hospital, a butcher, a baker, a banker. How about something easy like usher? How about security, children's ministry, maintenance? I understand we need some IT assistance around here, some techs, people, whatever it is. Stop saying that somebody else can do it. God needs you to, he's appointed you to take care of his house and the ministries that go on here. The needs are many, but unlike previous generations, believers have critically withdrawn from serving the Lord's house. But all over the body of Christ, the Lord is marshaling his people to serve his house. We often make a mistake in thinking that what we're doing is second best. That if we were really serious about our faith, we'd be in full-time ministry. Wrong. You better think twice before you jump out there in full-time ministry. The Lord resourcefully stations his men and women skillfully where he sees they can minister most effectively, more effectively, and where people around them will be impacted eternally. What has God prepared and trained you for? Be content to do what God has called you to do. To serve where he placed you, for yours is just as holy and high a calling as that of any preacher or any apostle. So Paul writes to the saints at Ephesus and says to the faithful in Christ, "That's not me," you say. "I'm not a saint." Yes, you are. I like that sound. Yes, you are. That sounds like, yes, you are. Yeshua HaMashiach. Yeah. Hallelujah. You are a saint. Amen. You thought you had to be canonized or something. No, you not don't have to be a cardinal or a bishop or anything. People run after titles. I mean, they buy them out of jars or something. I don't know. One day they're a bishop and the next day they're something else highfalutin, you know. It's not in titles. That's not what the word saint means anyway. It just means set apart. Set apart. Don't you want to be set apart? Don't you want to be a part of the bride? Amen. Special in heaven. I read the first three verses of Ephesians again. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God to the saints who are in Ephesus, and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly. Phew! Those blessings are present here in abundance. They are present here in this body. Verse 11 tells us that God is working it out for you. Whatever it is in your life, he is working it out for you. He's going to take care of it for you. He has provided for you. Look at the text again in verse 11. He says, "In him we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will." God's purpose for our lives impacts our journey. Here, as he is working all things together to bring us into our glorious inheritance. All the drama of creation and life and the conquest of good and over evil is all for the purpose of God saving souls, building his church, destroying the work of the evil one, restoring his children to their full original glory and destiny, and doing stuff we have no idea he's doing to bring salvation to others and impact the final picture of eternity. So what have you to do? What you do does matter, how meager you might think your position is. God is rapidly moving toward the glorious end he saw from the beginning when he created the universe and said, "Let there be." I think about Genesis 1, 26 to 28. He said, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Saints, it is our divine legacy, our destiny, to bear fruit, increase, prevail, prosper, overcome, and win in this life. Well then, when your life is centered in Christ and his divine purpose is for you, you don't have to pretend. All you have to do is simply walk in the inheritance God has already proposed and given you. God is sovereign, saints, but he has given you and me free will. That is, in the midst of his sovereignty, we are free to have preferences and make choices. There's more than enough room in the bigness of God's eternal dominion for a full exercise of our free will. I always say that a lot of times when we mess up or do something wrong, God has already factored it in, amen, to his dealings with you. God is so far ahead of us, knowing the end from the beginning. Man, you think you're going to trick him? He has placed constraints on evil, limiting it to this universe. And the free will we presently enjoy, whether doing good or doing evil, he has limited to this world. It is here that we must take our stand, make godly choices as to who and for what we will live and give our lives. The enemies of God are ever working to keep us from living our lives fully in God's purpose, so as to keep us entangled, sorrowful, defeated, and lacking enthusiasm. This way we won't pray, we won't study the word, we won't attend worship faithfully, we might make it once a month. What? I knew I was meddling, I knew it. Yeah, well, anyway, it won't let us do a lot of stuff. It won't allow you to give and to serve and support the spreading of the gospel to a dying world. Amen. You know, claiming your victory. I had an amazing pastor, Dr. James Earl Massey. I didn't know he was so great. So he sat down one day and started playing the concert piano. Found out he speaks seven languages and became the dean of the seminary I attended. And I remember once when he came to visit when I was a student there in seminary. And so these guys, very bright guys, they just knew they were going to get this pastor side. We don't know. Show him something. So we all gathered in a place, and they were all sitting around him. And they're going to grill him. You might say drill him. It was supposed to be a grilling. And he just wiped the floor with them. brilliant scholar, theologian. He was a blessing to me and inspiration. I forgot what I was going to tell you. I was telling you that. But he was inspiration. He was inspiration. It might come back next week. But if we take a stand, choose to surrender fully to Jesus and become centered in his purpose, God will cause us to once again bear fruit, increase in God, prevail through his life challenges, overcome the devil all the time. Amen. Prosper and win before we get to the end of the book. This way he will use our lives, our families, our churches, our ministries to rescue many desperate and dying souls in this world. God needs a place that will show him off. He needs a people to show him off. We need somebody standing at their post in all kinds of places around here. A pastor cannot do it all. In a lot of churches, a pastor does it all. When I first went into the military as a chaplain, that chaplain didn't have to, but because he was out of his background, he was stoking the fire. He would come up, it would soot all over him. He was used to doing it all. We can't do that to churches and pastors. But if we take a close stand, choose to surrender fully to Jesus, and become centered in his purpose, God will cause us once again to bear fruit, increase in God, to prevail through life challenges, overcome the devil, as I said all the time. The way he will use our lives and our families and our churches will cause us to save many desperate people. God is getting ready to bring together the whole glorious family of God. I think that's what it's about, you know. And he's going to do it in his magnificent name. So in our pursuit of God's purpose, he will sensitize us to his voice and the promptings of his Holy Spirit, you know. We need to be more discerning, you know. We need to be sensitive to the spirit realm, you know. We can't just go around, you know, being just merely religious, you know. We need to be armed with those gifts that we talked about, because we have to realize that you have been particularly appointed by God, you know, and placed in the body of God, and God did with you with a mission. You know, I think about the Super Bowl today. You know, we got the NFL, then we got the NFC, and they've got the AFC, and we got these teams that come together who fought it out. You know, and they had to be disciplined. They had to train. You know, they weren't on the bench. You know, but see, as Christians, sometimes we're on the bench. Sometimes we, you know, don't know what team we belong to. Amen. So I'm just saying that we need to know what it means to be the church. God is getting ready to bring together a whole glorious family of God. In our pursuit of God's purpose, he will sensitize us to his voice and the promptings of his Holy Spirit. He will get us to the place and the position he has designed for us to serve, grow, and prosper in. Know that sometimes, that is good and right for us to miss. Because we take our lives into our own hands. But when we surrender to God's purpose, the currents of his spirit will move on us along the course of his will and on the path of his purpose. We may seem to bump into stuff along the way or turn over a time or two because of the waves. But somehow God is good and we end up in the right place of his choosing. So a meteor might come through the path of your orbit, or a storm might rock your boat, but God will take care of you. He will stabilize your life and guide you safely to shore. The pathway to God's purpose does not always lead through green pastures or to still waters. Amen. Sometimes through the valley of the shadow of death, and sometimes into the very presence of our enemies. But God is always with us, saints, and you can do exactly what he wants you to do. Amen. And you don't have to wait. Amen. So every dream, every vision, every purpose God has given is targeted by a thief. Are you on guard? Do you know what your purpose is enough to guard it? In his classic book, Dream Thieves, Rick Renner identifies thieves lurking along the road to your destiny. He reveals the strategies that must be adopted to ensure that you achieve your God-given dreams. He explains that every dream God plants in your heart has a significant purpose, leading ultimately to a specific destination. That's why our dream thieves show up early and repeatedly along your journey to shift your focus from opportunities to obstacles. And I learned an amazing thing listening to a speaker a few weeks ago. He said that in the spirit realm, the enemy is oftentimes able to perceive your purpose and will oftentimes attack you early in your life and oftentimes as a child. I remember the occasion of doing a deliverance for a beautiful young lady and her husband in Germany. They left the chapel. They were returning to the States. And we farewelled them. They wanted to have prayer before they left. We prayed. And as we were praying, all of a sudden, she changed. And I looked up at him. He said, didn't have a clue. He had never seen her this way. And so as I was ministering to her, I finally realized I was discerning an evil spirit. And I happened to say, how did you get in her? He said, her mother didn't want her. So we proceed to do the right thing. We proceed to do what God had empowered and known us to do. I bound that thing, cast it out. It was a very intelligent spirit, very sophisticated. And I was stunned for a moment. But the wisdom of God came. And there's nothing can stand against the wisdom of God. And I commanded that thing out, and it left. They left the chapel, went down the street, and about 15 minutes came running back through the door. Chaplain, chaplain, chaplain. I said, what? They called me Chaplain T. I like that name, Chaplain T. Right, Atticus? And they said, she wore these thick glasses. But when she came in, she wasn't wearing them. He said, she can see perfectly. That spirit operating in her body was causing her to have failing eyesight. Why do you think I tell you, pray in the spirit. Pray much in the spirit. Be baptized in the spirit. Because you build yourself up, as Jude says, you build yourself up in the most holy faith. Yeah. And you will be surprised. You can know a lot more about what's going on in your world around you than most people will ever know, particularly if you're a leader. So we pray a lot. I have a great responsibility of covering you and praying for you. And I do that. But we're going to need a lot more people who can do what God taught me to do. Amen. So I know that you're here. You got various gifts. Be honest with God. It's important. Let me go on with, and I'll finish with, you know, hold on. I know you got steaks roasting and you got pies boiling and all kinds of stuff. But see, I'm giving you a discipline lesson today. I'm making you sit here. You think you can get up and leave on if you wanted to. You really could, but I don't know. I wouldn't let the angels do that to you. Let me just say the goal of the, and I'm going to be through here in a moment, of the dream thieves is to overwhelm and intimidate you until you are either immobilized and stuck or moving in a direction that is ineffective. The devil loves to get us off track. Because, you know, it's kind of like shooting an azimuth to a distant star. And if you were firing a rocket, I remember talking about this a long time ago, if you got it off just a little bit, eventually that rocket's going to end up somewhere out in the universe, way out there, and not on the target. And that's where that's all the enemy wants to do to you. Just get you off a little bit. Just get you messed up a little bit. You know, stop praying. Stop reading the Word. These thieves try to make you, they challenge you. They try to make you challenge your calling. They make you doubt your dream, your purpose in life, make you feel bad about yourself while your navel gaze and drag your face on the rug. You're not busy praying and seeking God and praying for other people. Make you question your capacity to deliver on the vision that consumes you. Until eventually the fire in your heart flickers and fades away. I remember when the vision for this ministry died. And because that's what you call the death of the vision, but God will always resurrect the vision. And it's just an experience you go through for you to get it in your heart, to see it in your mind, and to seek God. God, is this really you? Because you see, faith is always has an element of risk in it. You're going to have to pay a price. You have to step out the boat and see if you can walk on the water. You feel what I'm saying? So whether your dream has been delayed or even if it seems to be dead, God is here to revitalize your vision and to steer you back on track with renewed momentum to see it through to its fulfillment. You can and you must fulfill your unique purpose in life by walking in your God-ordained calling. You must do it. It's vital, really important to God. That's why He has ministers all around this nation and world preaching right now on purpose. There's something God wants us to line up for and be ready for. Too many abandoned dreams litter the road of life that we might have to give an account for. So don't let your dream be one of those. I close with a statement from Dr. Miles Monroe. He said, purpose is when you know and understand what you were born to accomplish. Vision is when you see it in your mind and begin to imagine it. The greatest tragedy in life is not death, but a life without a purpose.